This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and it is officially the first day of the NFL season. We will watch the Eagles tonight, the Cowboys, a little rivalry game, defending champs and the team that just, dumped their best player to another Super Bowl contender. And we're going to do some groundbreaking radio right now. Never been done before. Never, ever on any station been done before, any year, any time, any market, anything. We're going to preview the NFL season, division by division. We're going to pick division winners, wildcard teams, playoff teams.
Unique idea.
It is. I came up with it in the shower. That's where I do my best thinking.
While you were thinking about Craig Breslow?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Attaboy.
Bresbot came to me in my ear and was like, Andy, you should preview the season. So we're going to preview the season. So therefore, our guy Dan Ball is going to handle things as we all prepared. I know we all have our little notepads ready to go with all our division winners, wild card teams. So Dan Ball, the floor is yours.
There's a lot going on behind me, but gentlemen,
I noticed you seem distracted in there. I hope you're ready for this moment.
I'm ready. It's just an honor to be part of groundbreaking historic radio with you all as we pick, beginning with the division winners in the NFL. Let's go right to the beginning, AFC East. Let's go our same order for our three-point stance. Andy, Fitzy, Ted, who are your winners for the AFC East?
Bills.
Williams.
Yeah, it's the Bills, and it's really not close.
No, not really.
No.
Was there any consideration for anybody else?
No, maybe four games ahead of the Patriots.
Not for a second. Never, not once.
I mean, as long as Josh Allen plays this season, the Bills are going to win the East.
I mean, the biggest discussion in the AFC East is who finishes second. I mean, you can make an argument. I think the Jets are dead last, and I think it's the Pats or the Dolphins that'll be the runner-up to the Bills.
Yeah, yeah. Barring injury, this was one of the easier ones to do, actually.
No doubt.
There you go.
I could see Bills, Pats, Jets, Dolphins.
Ooh, that's quite the indictment on the Miami Dolphins.
And if that happens, then the Miami Dolphins coach might be an answer to the a question in the next segment.
There you go.
Vertical tease.
Way to spoil that. Let's go to the AFC North. Andy, what do you got?
I got the Ravens. I think the Ravens might be arguably the best team in football, so give me the Ravens.
Yep, I got the
Nope. It's okay. I got the Ravens, too.
Yep. Ravens, three. It's.
I gave this one more pause, though. I will say that. This one was a. I at least considered somebody else for more than 0 seconds like I did with the AFC East.
And that was the Bengals. And then you thought of their defense, and you went, eh. That's going to be their biggest downfall always and forever is the defense for the Bengals.
So, Andy, the Ravens, you describe them as potentially one of the best teams in football.
Yeah.
How are you? Are you a Final Four confident? Are they playing on the big game on Sunday confident?
Well, I don't want to give away picks that you might ask me for later, but I think they could be as good as any team in football. Like, when I look at them, again, injuries are always the wild card with everything, and they do have a couple guys. You know, Derrick Henry's a centerpiece player that one of his greatest attributes is the guy just takes every carry and gets up and hasn't been hurt, but... I just look at that, and I told Ted this. Ted Johnson, the linebacker, to me, a nightmare scenario for him is the mesh point between Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. It's like, this guy's as big as me. This guy's way faster than me. I don't know who has the ball. I could get embarrassed here. And to me, that's the root of all their success.
If I was the Ravens, I would really try and win as many games as you can win in the regular season so you don't have to go play your AFC Championship game in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. If Mark Andrews just catches the ball, they probably beat the Bills last year. But I just think for them, they need to play that game at home. The AFC is so tough with the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens that it really, if all those teams would really help themselves if they could play that game at home.
Yep.
All right, on we go. A division that's tough to pick, I feel like, for all the wrong reasons. The AFC South is next on our list. Andy, what do you got?
Okay, so this is going to play into some other answers I have to other questions. I am going with the Jacksonville Jaguars to win the South. First-year coach Liam Cohen and company, a lot of talent. They drafted Ted's guy, arguably the most athletic player to enter the NFL in a long time. The only problem for me with this pick is... Trevor Lawrence, I don't know if I trust him. I don't know if I trust him to be good enough to carry a team to where I think he should be. But give me the Jags.
I saw and liked what Liam Cohen did with Baker Mayfield recently in Tampa, and I think he will do something similar for Trevor Lawrence as well. I was this close to picking Jacksonville to win the South as well. They will be much improved and get back to their offensive forward ways, but I kind of went chalk with Ted Town. I have the Houston Texans squeaking by the Jags for the AFC South.
Yep, I got H-Town. I think, you know, C.J. Stroud's going to have a bounce back year. And Trevor Lawrence, I was so high on him when he first came into the league. Not so much anymore. The Texans have a great defense led by, you know, they're in there, Willie Anderson. I mean, they got and Daniel Hunter are incredible. So I just like the Texans. I like that coach down there. I like where they're going. And I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. I don't. And a side note, which is interesting, we all were wondering, you know, where are they going to play Travis Hunter? He's listed as a starting wide receiver and a backup cornerback.
Yep. Wow. But he's going to get time to both.
And a very interesting nugget, if you take him in fantasy, the publications or rather services you use let you know that you will not get any defensive points if he has fumbles recovered or interceptions.
That is good to know. I actually did not know the answer to that question, and I stayed away from him from that very reason. But why research before you go into a fantasy football draft? The Texans, to your point, Ted, are such an interesting team. I mean, they were the bell of the NFL 2 years ago. Same thing can be said for their coach and their quarterback. Take a huge step back. Their offensive line was atrocious last year. So it feels like after a bit of a sophomore slump across the entire team, I'm curious to see what they can do in kind of the year three of this era of Texans football.
They're expecting big things. I mean, they love their what's his name down there? Of course, used to be the general manager.
Oh, Nick Caserio.
Nick Caserio. They love Nick Caserio and what he's done
with
his team. Oh, love him.
Really?
Absolutely love him. Are you kidding me?
Imagine, that was
he's turned this team around.
That was going sideways for a while, and then he drafts C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, and boom. They love him in Houston.
Yep, that's it.
A couple little quick decisions, and all of a sudden, you're the bell of the ball.
Nice influx in talent, too, with Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, the wide receivers coming out of Iowa State. So their offense, too, could be tuned up with your boy Nick Caley as OC.
And I'm rooting for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's my guy. And plus, Bobby Slowick, I still find that whole situation weird. Bobby Slowick was like with Ben Johnson as the next big thing.
Can't miss a head coaching candidate 2 years ago.
And then, we'd like you to leave and stop being near our quarterback. You've ruined everything. Get the hell out of here kind of thing.
What's he doing now? Is he an OC somewhere else now? I didn't even really follow where he ended up. But we can leave that there. That has nothing to do with the fact that we're on to the AFC West. And Andy Hart, your winner is what?
I'm going boring. I know everybody wants to go elsewhere other than the obvious answer. But my guy Andy Reid told his wide receivers to make sure they're in shape, they're going deep. I think Travis Kelce is now kind of refocused, which is weird because he's still with Taylor Swift and getting married. I think the Chiefs are the team to beat until they're beaten, so give me the Chiefs.
And they will be the team to beat until they get beaten, which is this season, because I'm a big Harbaugh guy, not just because I loved him at the University of Michigan as well. Harbaugh year two is a thing, and although there was the unfortunate injury of left tackle Rashawn Slater early in the preseason, shifting their all-world right tackle back to his natural spot, Joe Alt, over at left, I think they're going to be tough enough to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs and squeak by them in a wonderfully competitive, very entertaining AFC West. Give me the Los San Diego Chargers to win the AFC West.
I like the Broncos. I think
I love this.
Yep, they got a great defense, and I don't know. I think they got something there with Bo Nix. I mean, if Drake May can have Bo Nix's numbers from last year, I think we'd all be thrilled. And I
please,
just
yes, the Chiefs, thank you.
I think the Chiefs were one of the worst teams. In fact, I think they were the worst team as far as explosive plays down the field last year.
Oh, they
year.
Were.
It was painful to watch that offense
that's
at times.
That's why they got Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly. I mean, they drafted Xavier Worthy. That's a big play guy, but they were dead last in the NFL in big plays last year. And I don't know. I think it's just hard to. I mean, the Patriots did it for a long time. I mean, you know, the Chiefs. I think that division overall is just better. And I just feel like the Broncos are going to sneak in there. The Chiefs will get it in the wild card, but I don't think they win a division. I think the Broncos win.
Andy, was it more difficult this year than in years past to choose the Chiefs over the teams that were around them?
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely reason for doubt. They're trending in the wrong direction with the quality of their play, the tightness, the margin of error they played with last year. 100%. But I'm a huge Andy Reid fan, And I just do believe they are still sort of the modern Belichick and Brady, and like, take the cheese, bet against them, and then regret it later. So until proven otherwise, give me the Chiefs.
Well, that's the fascinating thing about using the Patriots as a comparison, and you kind of have two waves of the dynasty almost. You have the Ted Johnson era, and then yep. you have more the Edelman Gronkowski era, if you will. So some people look at that and go, well, maybe they're set for a downturn for a 2-3 year window. But again, you have to see it before you can bet on it.
Let me ask you guys a question. How did Andy Reid do without Patrick Mahomes?
When
he was head coach.
Well, he went to the playoffs with Alex Smith, went to the Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb. He's a good coach.
He went to five NFC championship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Without,
he's my guy.
Without Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, you don't have to argue me. I think you can make a strong argument he's the best coach of this generation. Very strong argument that gets stronger. And I'm also not taking the cheese if they lose early. You're not going to hear me do the Trent Dilfer, they're not good anymore in Kansas City. Until the season's over, I'm saying the Chiefs have a chance to win that division and go to the playoffs and win a Super Bowl.
Hey, Ted, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why'd you bring up Andy Reid without Patrick Mahomes?
I was just bringing it up. I didn't know if you guys had noticed that.
Can't you guys just let him be subtle? Just let it float? Just let it sit there and simmer?
Does Andy Reid lose his college debut by 34?
No. Bill Belichick has done it again.
And people would love to play for Andy Reid in college. I think he'd be a fun college coach. When he does the, remember he does the ring around the rosy play, and like almost anything people bring to him, he's like, yeah, mm-hmm. we'll give it a try. He's the one who tells Patrick Mahomes, have you seen that? He tells him to try stupid stuff. He wants him to do a behind the back pass. He wants him to do a between the legs pass. You think Belichick's ever going to egg a guy on to do like behind the back or between the legs? Andy Reid is young for his age.
And he's your guy, apparently, which is quite the hot take. Okay, so we have our AFC picks in. To the NFC we go, NFC East.
Eagles.
Eagles.
E-L-G-E-A-S.
Felt like that was an easy one. We could expedite the process.
It's the best roster top to bottom.
Yep. Yeah. Howie Roseman.
He's the best team in the NFL.
He looks like a dork or a nerd or something, but he puts together a football team.
Okay, there you
just
go.
Saying.
A ringing endorsement. And it's also a division, what I was going to chime in before Andy decided it was time to give his pick, was it's a division that from beginning of camp until now has gotten even easier for the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have the Commanders trading Brian Robinson and whatever else is going on. You almost lost McLaurin. And then the Cowboys, we kind of thought that eventually Jerry Jones would just overpay, but he didn't. So now the path seems to be even easier. Do you guys see any reason to doubt the Eagles, or do you still believe in the roster just as much as a season ago?
My reason to doubt them would be Saquon Barkley had a special season, and I think history shows you the running back position in particular, when you have a special season, sometimes the next year you're due to pull a hammy, miss 6 weeks, yeah. Something goes weird. Like Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago, it was perfect, and then last year the wheels fall off and the 49ers kind of fell off with it. That would be my one fear.
There's something to that, because he was such a pivotal part of kind of the inspiration for that team.
Yep.
I mean, he was the flag carrier. A lot of their kind of, you know, wins were inspired by the effort that Saquon Barkley put out there. So if he can't duplicate that same effort, then you wonder. But, man, they're just such a complete team. They don't have really any weaknesses.
Nope.
So even with Saquon.
Wait, they lost a $100 million defensive tackle.
Yep. And probably replaced him with another first rounder.
Nothing but out of Georgia. Hosses in between.
And the Eagles fan that we met at the Jimmy Fund was like, yeah, you know what? You guys can keep him and his $100 million.
He did say, like, good luck with that.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. Which I saw that and I clocked that, like, oh, okay, this is something to watch. Anyways, the North continues to be very strong across the divisions. NFC North, Andy, your winner, please.
I don't know if you're aware of this. I can be somewhat reactionary. So give me the Packers. They traded for the best defensive player in football. I've always kind of liked Jordan Love. They have Josh Jacobs. They have a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. They added the Golden Kid. I think the Packers are a legit Super Bowl contender with Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah. Go, Pack, go.
Yeah, it's the Packers. It's definitely the Packers. They're starting to finally put emphasis on defense. And, you know, this is supposed to be the year where the quarterback takes a big leap. People believe in this kid, so we'll see.
You picked him, but you didn't sound overly confident.
Yeah, no, it's tough.
We'll see.
It's tough because I do like Detroit, but then Detroit's got two new coordinators, and I think that was
ding.
Suffered some attrition too. For sure.
You know, I think Ben Johnson not being there is going to impact Jared Goff a little bit. So it was tough. It was not the easiest pick for me.
We're going to learn about Dan Campbell this year and just how good a coach he is. If they don't miss a beat, I need to bump him up what I think of head coaching. If they have a serious fall off, then you got to be like, was it the coordinators all along kind of thing?
They're a fascinating one. I am surprised that was a clean sweep for you guys, though. I understand.
I did give consideration, Dan, to Minnesota.
Yeah.
But I think they got a little lucky in a few games last year, but they may or may not appear later on in my selections.
Okay, fair enough. There you go. And yeah, a lot of one possession games and one possession wins for them. NFC South, good luck with this one. Andy, what do you got?
Give me the Bucks. I think they're the most talented team in that division. Baker Mayfield, I'm hoping, is now sort of a stable quarterback and not going to say, oh, we had a great year, now we're going to fall off. But the talent they have offensively, I just think they're a pretty solid football team. So give me the Bucks.
I will agree with Andy. The Bucks are a very talented football team, and when offensively healthy, could present the best flank of wide receivers out there, plus Bucky Irving, who everyone's in on in fantasy. However, the Falcons finished a really strong end of 2024. I'm a big believer in Penix. And they have an easier schedule. So I will take the Falcons to beat the Buccos by one game in the NFC South.
It's a toss-up between the Bucs and the Falcons. I'm the biggest Michael Penix fan, so I had a hard time. But I think Baker settled into kind of being a stable quarterback that is going to be more consistent. You know what you're getting from him. So, and they believe in him.
Yeah.
They are bought in on Baker Mayfield. So he's finally found a home. I just think that experiences he's had. He's been in the league, what, 5-6 years now? That is going to benefit them. So I think they're going to edge out the Falcons in that division.
This is Baker's seventh year.
Seventh year.
Man. Yeah. Amazing. Time.
Crazy, right?
Time flies with a guy who I still remember very well in college. And last one, NFC West. Very good division this year. Go ahead, Andy.
This is a tough one for me, but I'm going to say the 49ers bounce back. I still think they have a lot of talent. I know they have injuries. Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, I just talked about it, scares the hell out of me. He's one of the best football players in the league when healthy, but he struggles to stay healthy. They learned that in Carolina. Brock Purdy, guess what, Brock? You were the greatest quarterback in the world when you were Mr. Irrelevant. You're not irrelevant anymore. You got a $265 million contract. That changes everything. They're getting a little older. George Kittle's a little, but I just think they're still a really talented football team on both sides of the ball. So give me the Niners.
Everything that Andy said and then some. I also think they're not going to suffer offensively because Kittle is all world and seemingly motivated. Pearsall is ready to have a breakout season. We'll see when you get Ayuk back. But also, Juwan Jennings might be one of the sneaky best second/third receivers in the NFL. Just got his contract gussied up a little bit. I'm looking for the 49ers in what should be a fun division that we all have zero emotional investment in.
I'm going to go with the Rams here. You know, Matt Stafford, I don't know if you ever seen him throw the ball. Pretty good.
Seen
him last year against the Patriots.
Pretty good.
That was a surgical game that they, you know, they had the ball for like maybe 19 minutes, but they scored pretty much, every that time rule. They got the ball. It was, and they just, they brought in Davante Adams. And that lined up next to Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. I like that tandem right there. I think the Rams are going to win that division.
Big fan of the Rams in that pick right there.
Sean McVay.
All right, let's do our wild cards. Andy, AFC and NFC wild card picks. Who fits in there?
So my AFC side is Bengals, Texans, Chargers, which were dispersed with some of the division winners here by my co-host. NFC, Vikings, Rams, Lions. So I actually have three teams in the NFC North making the playoffs.
It's almost like I cheated off Andy. Vikings, Rams, Lions for me, and my wild cards in the American Football Conference are Ben's gals, the Chefs, and Ted's AFC West winning Broncos.
Okay, so since I have the Broncos winning the West, I got the Chiefs in at the wild card, the Bengals, and sorry, Pats, I'm going with the Chargers.
Jesus.
as the team, the seventh team in.
Wow, we have all the same. Yep. Andy, you're the only one who went off script with the Jags.
We're also, nobody picked the Patriots.
Did you see CBS? Did you see NFL.com?
It's going to be hard to get in with eight wins.
Did you hear Brian Hoyer? He said they're going to win 11 games or maybe eight.
Somewhere in there, you know, somewhere from missing to making. He'll be right on one end of that spectrum. Okay, those are our wild cards. Ted, we got your NFC ones as well, right?
Commanders, Lions, and Falcons.
Commanders. There is a name that hasn't entered the conversation yet.
NFC title game a year ago and barely made our panel's playoff discussion this year. I told you, step back here.
Okay. I'm still confident in my beer bet with Andy, which I think still exists. So those are our wild cards. Gentlemen, if you want to throw in quickly your AFC and NFC title game matchups, your Super Bowl matchup, and your champion. Andy, go ahead.
Okay, this is easy. Bills-Ravens in the AFC championship game. Eagles-Packers in the NFC championship game. The Ravens will beat the Packers in the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson is now a Super Bowl champion.
Okay, finally, finally.
Let's go.
Long overdue. Okay, I get a rematch of one of the most thrilling AFC playoff games last year, which is also the Sunday night football game. Give me the Bills over the Ravens in Orchard Park, which will be the final game at the old Ralph Wilson, now Highmark Stadium, before they open their new super roof-free dome. I got Eagles hosting the Packers, and in Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara, the Bills finally end their drought and defeat the Packers 30-27. Taylor Swift plays the halftime. Josh Allen, MVP.
I love it. I wish I had faith in it because Josh Allen is my favorite football player in the league. I just don't know if he's got the
team.
Isn't
it crazy? I feel there's like, I don't hate the Bills. Like, you want to hate the Bills.
They're lovable. Yeah, Josh Allen is very
lovable.
They're
easy to like. All right, so my AFC championship matchup, I got the Bills. The Chiefs having to go out to Orchard Park.
Oh.
And that gets them. That's so the Bills go to the Super Bowl, play the Eagles, and the Eagles and the Falcons play in the NFC Championship game. The Eagles advance. And then I think at the end of the day, the Eagles win back to back. Yeah, back to back, baby. Back to back.
Wow, Jalen Hurts has now gone to 3 Super Bowls. He's won 2 of them. He's going to the Hall of Fame, baby. Jalen Hurts, a Hall of Fame quarterback? Never saw that coming.
If he wins 2 in a row, that's it. Make the bust right now, right?
Put him in Canton. He's going to Canton.
Have him raising his statue fist like in protest over his head.
They'll do a different one for him. It'll be in the tush push. You won't see him. You'll just see his butt and people pushing him forward.
His head will just be under Jason Kelsey's butt.
Yep.
All right, so we'll leave that one there. Our next segment, when we continue our predictions, we'll do individual awards, the good and maybe some of the bad as well.
I am looking forward to the next segment very much so. MVPs, first coach fired, everything in between. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, the man who was just organizing that chaos, Dan Ball, has what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox fell to the Guardians last night at Fenway Park. The final was 8-1. Off day today for the Sox. They begin a 6-game Western road trip on Friday that will feature 3-game series against the Diamondbacks and the Athletics. Boston is currently tied with the Yankees for the top spot in the AL wildcard. From earlier today, the Sox are placing reliever Jordan Hicks on the injured list with a shoulder injury and calling up left-hander Chris Murphy before tomorrow's game out in Arizona. The Patriots open up the 2025 season on Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Raiders. Tune in to hear Ted Johnson and the crew on WEEI's NFL Football Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Also, Andy Hart and Nick Fitzy-Stevens bring you the 6 Rings postgame show on Sunday after the conclusion of Red Sox coverage. Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez was once again the lone player not spotted at practice today. His status for Sunday is still unknown. Also from this afternoon, per Ian Rappaport, Raiders wide receiver Amari Cooper has informed the team that he no longer has the desire to play and intends to retire. Tonight, the 2025 NFL season kicks off in Philadelphia as the reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles host the Dallas Cowboys. Kickoff is at 8:20. Coverage of that game begins right here on WEEI at 7 p.m. after the Christian Arcand Show. And from around the league, outside linebacker Nick Benito and the Broncos reached agreement on a 4-year, $106 million extension, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in Broncos franchise history. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Boys behind the glass are enjoying this a little too much, dancing in their chairs.
A little outcast.
Somebody's got to have a good time.
WEEI Afternoons, we're having a great time. It is kickoff night in the National Football League. There's a game which is available somewhere. I'm still a little annoyed with the direction the NFL is going, and that was going to be my three-point stance. Did you see they're adding commercials to the red zone?
Brutal, brutal. Mm-hmm. End of an era.
He can no longer say, and your 7 hours of commercial-free football start now.
He can actually go to the bathroom.
But he says he's not going to.
Oh, okay.
He's not changing anything that he does.
Okay.
He stays locked in, right?
He would have the opportunity to, but he's not going to do it. And then Pat McAfee, the mouthpiece for the NFL and ESPN, was like, nobody cares if there's commercials.
Who cares?
Are you out of your mind?
Twitter was, I mean, I don't think I saw one positive thing about that.
No. They take and they take and they take the NFL, and we continue to just take it.
We used to be a country, Andy.
We used to be able to watch football on, you know, less than 7 apps and streaming services, and the red zone didn't have it. It's all changed. Anyway, back to our NFL preview, Dan Ball. We move on to the awards time.
Individual awards. We'll go down the list. We'll do the good ones, then we have a couple of bad ones at the end, which I think are pretty funny. But let's go right to the top. The MVP of the NFL season this year, normally commonly known as the Best Quarterback Award, Andy Hart, is who?
It is the only one who is considered part of the top four in the NFL every year at the quarterback position. Who hasn't won an MVP? It's Patrick Mahomes, it's Lamar Jackson, it's Josh Allen. They all have hardware. Joe Burrow does not, but that ends now. Joe Burrow's defense stinks, and Joe Burrow's going to have to throw the ball a lot, and he's got his guy Jamar Chase and T. Higgins back, so baby, air it out, put up yards, win the MVP.
Okay, interesting. I gave some thought to that as well because, you know, he is my favorite non-New England Patriots football player in the NFL. I fear that even if they do win 10, maybe 11 games and make it to the playoffs, his team's defensive ineptitude will get held against him in a court of awards-based law. So I wanted to go Burrow, but I kind of went chalk on this one. I think Lamar is still so mad about last January and losing a game that was winnable up in Buffalo. He goes on a mission this year. He's veritably unstoppable and takes home his third most valuable player trophy.
The Bengals are not going to get off to a slow start this year. Ooh. They've been playing in preseason games. They're starters. They want to get off to a hot start. They're terrible in the month of September. Historically, they won't be this time. And so that is going to put Joe Burrow on the track for MVP.
Let's go, Joe.
So
nice.
You obviously cheated off of my paper and saw that, but Joe Burrow is my MVP this year.
To be fair, that's what I do when it comes to football, so I can't really blame Andy if he did, but we'll leave that one there and move on. So basically the second best MVP candidate of the season. Yep. Who is your offensive player of the year, Mr. Hart?
So I am going to go, I got the Ravens having a great year. I didn't go with Lamar as the MVP, but I will go with Derrick Henry as the offensive player of the year. I'm going to assume he just continues to defy logic, doesn't get hurt, and we all know he's got that little carrot dangling out front. When you smell the carrot, Adam Sandler said if he gets 2,000 yards, he'll put him in a movie. So Derrick Henry not only wants to win a Super Bowl, he wants to be in an Adam Sandler flick, so he's going to be Offensive Player of the Year.
You know who will be the beneficiary of all that Joe Burrow action, and you know who is not going to have the Bengals' cruddy defense held against him? The Offensive Player of the Year and fantasy number one overall consensus pick, Jamar Chase.
I'm off him. He just signed with Fabletics.
Okay, cool. Expound.
He left Nike and he joined Fabletics, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with. It's one of Ted Johnson's kind of, they sell your
It's athleisure
apparel. I believe it's owned or financed by Kevin Hart. I believe
he's an investor.
It's a very weird corporation, which I don't want to say bad things about them on the radio because I don't have total knowledge, but like, there's a subscription involved that's pretty hefty on a monthly basis to get the prices they tell you you're paying. It's kind of a weird setup.
I'll have to check that out.
I wouldn't. It's hard to get out of once you're in.
Okay. It's like a timeshare?
Kinda. I want to call one of those numbers. I need a lawyer to get me out.
I'm not a lawyer. Call
I need a lawyer.
So my offensive MVP it's got to be Lamar Jackson. You look at Josh Allen. You think about Josh Allen. Then you look at the players Josh Allen has. It's not like he's got a lot of elite players he's throwing to. But you look at what Lamar Jackson has, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman. Oh, D-Hop is back there, and then all-world Mark Andrews. So yeah. But Lamar Jackson is my offensive player of the year.
Love it. Let's go to the other side, defensive player of the year.
I am going, again, recency bias. Last time a player was traded like this, He had a great year, and now I think the same thing is going to happen for Micah Parsons. I think Micah Parsons is going to have a bee in his bonnet and want to prove. He didn't want to leave the Cowboys. He's going to want to stick it to the Cowboys
now.
Yeah,
he's going to get
and he's already good.
A needle stuck in his butt.
I think, yes, he is going to. And that's fine. He'll be looser and won't feel anything. And I think he gets 20-plus sacks this year. I think he's your defensive player of the year.
Wow. I'm going to go with a repeat offender here. Last year, you had the first cornerback to win in 5 years since Stephon Gilmore in 2019. I will take from the best defense in the NFL, the best cornerback in the NFL, Patrick Surtain II, to go back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year.
Wow.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back cornerback defensive player of the year. That'd be something.
That would be something. All right, I'm going to go with a guy that I heard was wrecking shop in training camp, basically making every play out there. And you see, he missed a lot of last year because of an injury, and that is one Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh.
Aiden Hutchinson is to me, he came in the league in 2022, 10 sacks, and then followed up by an 11-sack season. And then last year he only played in 5 games, but I heard he's looking as good as he's ever looked. So
he's got a bionic leg now.
He reminds me a lot of J.J. Watt. And J.J. Watt had 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards for his mantle. I think Aiden is kind of on that level. That's my pick for Defensive Player of the Year.
I thought we'd hear that name, but I thought it'd be a little bit later down the list.
We'll
get to that. So let's bunch up here the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Andy Hart, what do you got?
So offensive, you're going to get to see him on Sunday. Ashton Jeanty, the running back for the Raiders. I think he's going to be a guy that rushes for 1,000 yards and catches 80-plus balls. I think he's going to put up huge numbers, real and fantasy. So Ashton Jeanty. And then Defensive Player of the Year, Abdul Carter. He gets to play with a very good defensive front with the Giants there. And I think it's usually the pass rushers, the sack guys, that have a good chance to win this award. So I think those top picks are going to have instant impact and win those awards.
What Andy said, just for the sake of expediting.
Nice!
I'm going to say he's on our fantasy league team, Stiz, and that is one Travion Henderson.
Oh,
let's go.
Wow.
Rookie, offensive rookie. I don't know if you guys watched any of the preseason games. He was just basically running kickoffs back.
He was
taking screens to the house. So, just saying.
Did you watch the Raiders preseason games?
I did not.
Nor did I.
Fair enough. There's only so much football you can watch, especially when Red Zone adds commercials. Okay, last two in the good, and then I vote that we do the bad on the other side of the commercial break. Comeback Player of the Year and Coach of the Year, Andy Hart.
I think Ted will have to agree with me. I'm going Aiden Hutchinson as my Comeback Player of the Year. And since he has him as the Defensive Player of the Year, I feel like he has to have him as his Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah, he does. I do.
Okay.
Yep.
Fitzy, you on board?
I'm 100% on board with Aiden Hutchinson. I thought about Christian McCaffrey, but Hutchinson's injury to me was more severe, and the Lions felt his loss so badly, so significantly last postseason. So give me the Hutch to come back. Comeback Player of the Year.
And the Coach of the Year for me, I am basing this on one quote from a defensive coordinator and a piece in The Athletic, and it was unattributed, but I'm putting a lot of stock in it. He said when he faced Liam Cohen's offense, it made him reevaluate everything he did defensively as a play caller, as a schemer. So Liam Cohen goes to the Jags. Duval. He's got really good talent in Brian Thomas Jr. I love him. I think he's a superstar in the making. You add Travis Hunter, you got Trevor Lawrence, and if they do what I think they're going to do and win the division, Liam Cohen's going to be your Coach of the Year.
That's a hot take.
Thank you. I might even put money on it because I probably can get some juice.
That's a spicy take. I'm going to go with the same reason. The person who's the same reason why I picked him to upset the Chiefs in the AFC West. I'm going to go with Jim Harbaugh, NFL Coach of the Year.
Boo. Can't go back to college because they won't have you anymore.
Banned for life, basically.
I'm going to go with in the NFC North. So I'm going to go with a coach who's won 4 of the 7 seasons he's been there. He's had 3 seasons where he won 13 games and last year 11, and that is Matt LaFleur. Of the Green Bay Packers is going to be Coach of the Year.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think he's that good a coach, but he's got the talent to have the results that could win him the award. So nobody said MV, and I'm not talking about Martha's Vineyard. Nobody said Mike Vrabel. Interesting.
Well, you got to make the playoffs for that, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. That's
you do, true. Don't you? Do you
probably.
Not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably. I think that's a prerequisite.
If they're a wild card team, I think you have to have that conversation, don't you?
Yeah. If they're on the high end of Brian Hoyer's spectrum there, if it's 10 or 11 wins, they make the playoffs, they're a wild card, Mike Vrabel will be in the conversation.
And if they're winning 10 games, then Drake May's probably balling.
But none of us seem to think that's going to happen, so he won't be in the conversation.
Yikes. Nope.
617-779-7937 if you want to react to our award winners. Those are the good ones, the positives. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we get to some of the negative awards, which is always led off by first coach fired. We know for sure Mike I think we know for sure Mike Vrabel will not be in that conversation. First, coach fired and more up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, and apparently this goes out to Ted Johnson from Stiz on the long-distance request here.
I'm Casey Kasem.
What was that for? What's the significance of that, Stiz?
I mean, we're picking individual awards, so better man, better player.
And this who is next song goes out to a man who owns a barbecue from Texas. He's known as Ted the Neck.
She tells us
that's a good Casey Kasem.
He likes it. He likes it. He's enjoying it. Singing away over there.
Yeah, we've been down at work every day, but I hope to one day be a better man.
You guys have you heard my Eddie Vedder story? I'll tell it someday.
What, an Eddie Vedder story? Sheesh.
How do you not tell it now?
No, I'll tell it someday.
Because we got picks to make. We got picks to make.
Oh, who cares about that? Yeah. McDaniel's getting fired. So Eddie Vedder.
I don't care about Eddie Vedder.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
You'll be the one and the only in this conversation who doesn't care.
All right, Dan Ball, what do we got left?
First coach fired. Andy, you picked Mike Vrabel. Why?
No, I didn't.
Who'd you pick?
I was set up like a you-know-what. Shane Steichen, the Colts coach. I think it's very simple. He has no stability at the quarterback position. He already benched Anthony Richardson, which is a step towards getting fired. And his bosses are the two daughters of Jim Irsay that are sort of learning on the fly ownership in the NFL. So he doesn't have stable ownership. He doesn't have a stable quarterback position. He's not going to win games. And by the end of the year, he will not be employed by the Indianapolis Colts.
Where there is smoke, there is usually fire. And there's a lot of negative buzz around the Miami Dolphins overall. They can't win football games in January. Last year, they couldn't win enough football games, period. And the vaped crusader shall soon be looking for work as an offensive coordinator on another football team as his team makes its way to the bottom of the AFC East. Give me, after a clunky 1-5 start, Mike McDaniel, first coach fired, 2025.
That's not a bad guess, actually. I'm going with one Brian Daboll. Love Brian.
Oh, come on.
But a lot of people thought that he would be fired after this past season, but he's decided to go out and get Russell Wilson in free agency. We'll see how long he's the starter. I think Jackson Dart probably gives him the best chance.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna start the season with Russell Wilson, I think you're just begging to be fired.
I think Brian Daboll is a sneaky Coach of the Year candidate.
Okay.
Because I think the Giants will be better than people think.
I think Russell Wilson's going to get benched. I think Jackson Dart's going to take over. I think Jackson Dart's going to win some games. And if you win some games with a rookie QB, maybe sneak in as a wild card in the NFC East.
What week will they change Russell Wilson to Jackson Dart?
I'm going to say week 3. I think it's going to be early. I think Russell Wilson is not long
for this
world.
They'll be 0-3.
Something like that. Yeah. And then, because in my theory, it has to be with enough time left on the schedule to salvage the season.
Jackson Dart will come in and then save Brian Daboll's job.
Yep.
Okay.
What about Brian Callahan in Tennessee?
For first coach fired? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you believe in Cam Ward, like I feel like they do down there, that shouldn't happen, but absolutely it's a possibility. He didn't handle himself well last year. Remember when he was like F-bombing and screaming? Like he looked ill-prepared for the stress that he was under last year.
Who was this?
Callahan and Titans.
Of the Titans, gotcha, yeah.
To your point about Shane Steichen, it reminded me, I was looking at the odds for the comeback player of the year. Seventh best odds is Daniel Jones, which means he's coming back from just being bad,
yeah.
Which is one of my favorite reasons why people get nominated for that award.
It's the dumbest award.
Yeah.
Like injury, like Aaron Rodgers would be in that world. If he had a great year for the Steelers, some people will think comeback player of the year. No. That was when you came back from your Achilles. No, you're no longer eligible. You just kind of stunk last year.
Right. Cannot come back from just being bad.
Nope.
Okay, how about let's go to the other side. We did the Super Bowl champion. How about team 32 of 32? The worst team in football this year is whom?
I think this is the easiest pick to make. The Saints.
Saints.
Yep. Yep.
I think Bill Belichick could beat the Saints.
Yep.
That's how bad they are.
I don't know.
The Saints
Sick burn alert. Sick burn.
Are definitely the worst team in NFL.
Okay.
They might not win the game, guys. They might be the first. If the Lions were the last 0-16 team, this could be the first 0-17 team.
And they can replace their, two generations later, Arch Manning can be their quarterback, and everybody's happy, and it's a great story.
He should try playing some better football.
Oh, one game.
I mean, come on, though. Let's look a little more like a top prospect there, my man.
I like the Nussmeier kid in LSU more.
Wasn't great.
Not great. Not great indeed. But yeah, you know, they really had a tough quarterback competition between Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck. Ugh. I saw the headline. They're like, you know, we're waiting to the last week of camp. I'm like, I guess I would too if those were my two choices.
Team chooses turd over vomit, film at 11.
Go Wildcat.
Stoppable force and movable object in that one. And last one, the biggest disappointment, you can also call it the most overrated team in football. Who's that going to be, Andy?
Yeah, I told you this a couple months ago, and it's I haven't changed from this position. I think it's the Washington Commanders. I think everything went right for them last year and for their quarterback. They are due, like I said, for Barkley to have that, like, football's mean, it's a harsh world, reality check year. And I don't think they make the playoffs. And for a team that went to the NFC title game a year ago to miss the playoffs, that's a very disappointing season, especially when you brought in Debo and Tunsil and those guys to try to get over the hump.
Well, Jerry's not going to want to hear this, but the Dallas Cowboys are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, so much so that even though they just dealt away their Defensive Player of the Year candidate, they're going to suck out loud, and it starts tonight. So give me the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they're going to suck. There was no question in our mind that Michael could bring us a lot of resources on a trade.
Who's Michael?
Who's Michael?
Michael. Parsons. Okay. I'm going to say the biggest disappointment is going to be the 49ers. A lot of people think they're going to win the AFC, or excuse me, NFC West. Do not. They lost 10 starters. They have 10 rookies that made the team and 26 players with fewer than 700 career snaps making the 53-man roster. That is a young, inexperienced team, and I think they're going to be hugely disappointing.
I like that. I like that. I actually think that I would rather pick them last than first in that division, personally, just for that same reason. So much roster turnover.
I could also see them going to the Super Bowl. So it'll be true, because I think they have the talent and the expectations. And if they don't live up to that, they're going to be the biggest disappointment in football. Good pick, Ted.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you got the stamp of approval from me on that one. I know that means a lot to you. So
good. Thank you.
Up next, RWEEI Afternoons. It's 5 o'clock. That means it's time for the drive. We need to revisit Steph Diggs. What the heck is going on with the Patriots wide receiver? Why is he in a bit of a soap opera battle with NBC Sports Boston? We also need to look at the Boston Red Sox. Ugly, ugly game last night after the news of Roman Anthony's injury and IL stint hit. Was that what the future holds, or a one-off? That's all next in the drive here on WEEI Afternoons.